We were sick and tired of Buffalo, tired of freezing and shoveling snow. So we packed it up, moved out to the coast to find us a house in California. Something at the beach or Hollywood, three or four bedrooms sound real good. Don't have to have a pool or a veranda, just a simple little house in California. The bank said, son, what do you do? I said, I play guitar down at the Rendezvous. He said, boy, you need to be a big-time actor or a corporate lawyer if you want to buy a house in California. Cause it don't snow and it don't rain, every day it looks the same. But before you pack your things, let me warn you, it's the land of milk and honey.
See, this is about what has been done. And while Bernie Sanders says the right things, he's had a lot of years in the Senate. He has not done things for the African community the way Hillary Clinton has. Fair criticism?
No, not at all. I mean, Bernie Sanders, one of the two white public officials who supported Jesse Jackson in the 80s, that took tremendous courage. Why did Brother Jesse win the primary in Vermont? Bernie Sanders. My dear Brother Chris, Sister Hillary Clinton is the Milli Vanilli of American politics. She lip syncs, she gives lip service, but when it comes to policy, who supported crime bill? Who supported not just deregulating of market, of banks, but also pulled the rug from under welfare? She talks about her work with the Children's Defense Fund way back in the 70s. Doesn't say a word about being a Goldwater girl. Doesn't say a word about supporting a candidate who Martin Luther King called there's no moral case for Goldwater. He's the most dangerous politician. She's vigorously campaigning. She shows up and gives these wonderful speeches sounding like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders on the ground getting arrested, marching with Martin. The problem is black voters don't know his history in the way in which they know the symbolic language of Hillary Clinton. But on the ground, she's calling black youth super predators in the 1990s. That is the most demeaning, degrading language to our precious young folk. Sometimes do the wrong thing, yes. Acting gangsters, yes. We know they got gangsters on Wall Street. How many Wall Street executives go to jail? Zero. She's too tied to Wall Street with all that big Wall Street money flowing her way, my brother.
Well, I got 3 jobs, my wife's got 2. Kids flipping burgers at the local drive-thru. We all doing everything we can. We saving for a house in California. One day, things start shaking, the sky went dark and the earth was quaking. Then overnight, it became alarming. How the prices dropped on a house in California. Well, it needs a roof and it needs a plumber. Yeah, yeah, it's a real fixer-upper. Friends back east said somebody should have warned you. But I finally got my house in California. And it don't snow and it don't rain, every day looks the same. And before you pack your things, let me warn you, it's the land of milk and honey. But you better have good money if you're looking for.
She says on the other side, I voted for the Brady Bill. Bernie Sanders voted against it many times. He wanted to protect gun manufacturers. He hasn't done what I've done to address the actual problems.
Then why does he have a D-minus when it comes to the NRA? She uses that one little element to take the subject matter somewhere else and not focus
Brady Bill's
on her
a little,
record.
Is a little element to the African-American community?
One element in terms of jobs with a living wage, when it comes to education, when it comes to decent housing, and when it comes to Wall Street. You know, and I know she and Bill received $151 million.
You're saying the money's a problem.
Unless she thinks we were born at night but not last night. Good God Almighty. We know the Wall Street influence on her has been intense. That's precisely why she and Bill repealed Glass-Steagall. These have direct connection with black folk. We got a neoliberal black political class who's on the Clinton bandwagon and the gravy train.
I stepped out the house about noon on a hot sunny day, the 16th of June. Backed out my driveway about to get in traffic. Glanced at my path and thought back when I didn't have shit. So I'm giving thanks to my empty big Ike. And I grab my nuts on them fools that don't like me. Check my bank stack, snap back to reality. See, I'm on white and gold dates, not rallies, not killing Cali. I'm where the houses be hanging. hanging on the cliffs, overlooking the ocean, three-wheel motion, coasting down 23rd, smoking herb, kind of perp, awesome dinner juice shook up with some Thunderbird. Ha, you know the C-O-W-B-O-Y, can kick it, I hit wicked for a meal ticket, I break some off like it's some Bill Watch college football, cracking him.
He hasn't got the exposure to see one fundamental thing. Profound integrity, genuine conviction, and on the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. What other higher standard do we have in American politics? How many politicians do we know have genuine integrity? That you can count them on your hand. Hillary Clinton's not one of them. She's not one of them, bro.
As Pop used to say, you can count them on one hand if you've been playing with fireworks.
And I tell you one thing, your beloved father's one of them that we can count on one hand, but that's rare, my brother.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Alright, Father Teresa's wine cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Feeny Loco, the uppity negress, Lisa Loco, the white splainer in chief, Fallen Loco, can now build an Xbox video game system from scratch. You give her a used paper towel roll, a floor model television set from around 1985, a rotary telephone, and she will get you an Xbox video game system set up in 60 minutes or less in the wine cellar. Can you fucking dig it?
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder. If you're one of the folks that interacts with us on the old Facebook Arena there, well, then you know to go to Reading in the Shade and give an old click there and maybe invite a couple of folks from your friends list and tell them, hey, check this motherfucking shit out. All right? You better gosh darn do it.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Now, why did I title this episode as I did, right? I titled the episode just straight up the PayPal link. I made the PayPal link the title, and I put the PayPal link as the first line in the show description. And it's because, I mean, we typically have the PayPal link in there anyway, along with the Patreon link down at the bottom, and the Patreon link is down at the bottom, and it looks like someone else just recently signed up, and I need to find out who. I gotta go look at that list. I was looking at the list, and I was like, who just signed up? Like, it shows me one person that canceled because they didn't like what we said about David Bowie. I gotta see who the person that just signed up was on the Patreon. But yeah, the PayPal link. I made the PayPal link there to encourage folks. Hey, give it a click if you can. We appreciate that a great deal. Because it's February, and I guess because February is a short month, they mix up the bills on us. So bills are coming in, coming due, and we're just going to go ahead and knock out some of these bills before they start redlining. And because that's what we got to do in the wine cellar. And not like household bills, that's... I go down to the corporate monster and take care of that. These are web hosting and service bills and you know, stuff that allows us to do a 2-hour program here and have unlimited content uploaded to the SoundCloud.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
All right. And speaking of that SoundCloud, we uploaded the first Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder, which I did. I kind of ambushed her with that episode. She didn't even know that I was about to start recording. Like, she heard the voice come on that said, "Your show was about to start in 5 seconds." And she was like, "What the fuck, man?" And then we did an episode of Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder. And that's on the SoundCloud, which is Wine Cellar Entertainment. All right, you can find that. And really the episode, if you're on the Reading in the Shade page for Phoenix Kaleeder, that is it's under the pinned post. The pinned post is a link to the about section of the actual the external blog, which is where the blogging should be done and then linked into Facebook so that people can't just report that stuff and get it deleted and kind of like what LaChris DeGreco did, just sort of take and destroy your intellectual property because they feel like it. Now, let's take a quick look at what's going on in the news here. A GOP bill would allow a group founded by an anti-gay slavery defender to accredit Tennessee schools. It's the legislature's Republican supermajority is doubling down on right-wing extremism, and the Senate is considering a bill to add a really, really weird outfit to the state's list of recognized accreditation organizations for church-related schools. It's SB 1792, and by Senator Brian Kelsley, a Republican, and it adds the Association of Classical and Christian Schools, which was founded by a feller named Douglas Wilson, the pastor of a Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho. He believes in exiling gay people and executing adulterers and thinks that slaves had it made in the shade in the South. All right, and the video of this guy talking is 10 minutes long, so it would really take like almost a whole episode to really go through what he's talking about and break it the heck down. The first clip that I want to go into is a Newt Gingrich clip. Newt Gingrich and fucking Steve Doocy and the rest of those folks on Fox and Friends in the morning. Because this guy, David Edwards, that writes for the Raw Story, I think he got it totally wrong. And I want to get down on that shit. Right? Mountaintop removal has mental health effects, all right? Solastalgia. I had to learn a word today. Solastalgia. All right? So I'm going to have to dig into that Martha fracking shit. Manhattan is surrounded by its own mini version of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Ain't that precious? All right, Manhattan surrounded by its own mini version of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. All right, so we're going to have to dig into that. It involves microbeads. All right, so we're going to have to dig into microbeads and dig into that story. Former female inmates that were in a Georgia Corrections Department, they are suing because, well, men are allowed to work in women's prisons and they rape them when they're in there. Why are men still allowed to work in women's prisons? Because a complete lack of logic in this society. Now, in a report by 11 Alive, the women have stated that the former captain, Edgar Johnson, used his position to sexually attack them in his office at the Emanuel Women's Facility located in Swainsboro, Georgia. The lawsuit says that the assaults happened in a period of 4 years, with some of the attacks made last year. The women were also reportedly threatened by Johnson that he could prolong their sentences, deny paroles, and won't allow them to see their children during visits. A former New York City cop gets a 21-year sentence for a sexual assault of a boy 15 years old at a Fort Lee motel. A former New York police officer and twice convicted sex offender was sentenced. Let's just bring it all the way back, right? Just This is Your America. A former New York City police officer and twice convicted sex offender was sentenced Tuesday to 21 years in federal prison for transporting a 15-year-old boy from the Bronx to a Fort Lee motel room to engage in illicit sex. The U.S. District Judge Esther Salas imposed the sentence on Jane Shannon, 53 years old, of East Brunswick, lamenting that he wasted an opportunity to get professional help after his first conviction on similar federal charges in 2003 and now must pay a heavy price. Just kill them. That's what you do. You just kill them. All right. Your daily dog attacks. February 22nd, 2016. Quick dog attack headlines. Let's just rip through them. Three Great Danes attack four children while a mom checked on them for her boss. Dog attack victims join working group on domestic animal services performance. Dog attack in Bedford County kills one dog and injures two children. A farmer describes a dog attack with horror which left nine sheep dead. Case closed in a deadly dog attack and a family wants answers. His daughter, Suzanne's story, was killed a little more than a week ago by her dog. We tapped into this one, about a week ago. And the update is there on fatherteresablog.wordpress.com under the daily dog attack for February 22nd, 2016. Police investigate a reported dog attack in Fairhaven. Cedar Rapids, woman reports dog attack. Little girl jumps into a first swim race after losing her arm in a dog attack. All right. A two-year-old has face re-implanted after dog attack. A Sanford woman mauled by pit bulls and had a long history with dogs. A vicious dog attack starts effort to change an Arlington ordinance. A second fatal dog attack in Windsor being investigated. A dog in a jogger attack wasn't supposed to be at a Red Hook home. A little girl who lost, here we go, and that's back to the swimming story. And a dog owner facing charges after four children attacked. All right. So, you can always go there and see the dog attack stories. All the headlines are hyperlinks, so you can go and see the full story from the dog attacks at fatherteresablog.wordpress.com. And a Chicago library housing historic collection of black literature is in jeopardy. A storm is brewing in Chicago's Washington Heights neighborhood, and it's all over a library that houses a priceless collection of literature. The building, which is in dire need of attention, is literally falling apart. The community is crying foul and demanding that action be taken. Quote, "You wouldn't know that it was a library, that it was this incredible resource, this cultural center, a museum, if you will," end quote, by Melvin Thompson, the executive director of the Indalo Institute. The Carter G. Woodson Library is home to the Midwest's largest collection of black literature. Those gems, apart from Vivian G. Harsh collection, are named after Chicago's first black librarian. The collection features slave and genealogy records and original manuscripts from multiple black authors. Its collection now at risk thanks to this building's fragile state. Quote, "I know the scaffolding has been here a while. I ain't never seen anybody doing anything," said, end quote, said a library patron, Thomas Spite. "In fact, the scaffolding has been here for so long, no one seems to really know exactly how long it's been in place. According to the city, the scaffolding was put up during the Daley administration back in 2002, and that is 14 years ago. Now, first around the entrance, and then it expanded to take up the entire front of the structure. Why? The city says shoddy construction and poor design of the Woodson Library, when it was built 40 years ago, led to this. The scaffolding is now in place to protect pedestrians surrounding this area, this very busy regional library. Quote, "We've got 25,000 people coming through the turnstiles every month at that library. 8,000 books are checked out every month. 12,000 hours of computer usage per month. This is significant," end quote from Thompson. Thompson's Endelio Institute is a nonprofit that is focused on building up Chicago's Washington Heights community. Right now, the group's primary focus is getting the Woodson Library the attention it needs. Quote, "We just think that it's deplorable that the city has neglected this library to a point that it's in disrepair and unsafe," end quote from Thompson. What makes it even more tragic is that the library is named after the father of black history. Many credit Carter G. Woodson for what we now know as Black History Month. Since 2013, Endelio has been putting pressure on the city to make the repairs while watching new state-of-the-art libraries go up in Beverly and Chinatown. Quote, "Nothing has been put in writing, and that was by design. Transparency has always been an issue for the city," end quote by Thompson. Chicago's Fleet and Facility Management Department, or 2FM, is managing Woodson's renovation project for the Chicago Public Library, but neither of the department's commissioners would go on camera to talk about this project. WGN was told that the facelift for Woodson carries an estimated budget somewhere between $5 and $10 million, but city officials couldn't seem to give me a reason why the library has been neglected for so long. Quote, "I'll take that bullet because I do represent the city," end quote from Rich Butler with the City of Chicago Procurement Services. Continuing the quote, "Unfortunately, I don't represent 2FM or Chicago Public Library. Chicago Public Library, those are two separate departments," end quote. Butler said these words at an explosive community meeting called to talk about the Woodson Project and its expectations, but the project's leaders, neither 2FM nor the Chicago Public Library, showed up for the meeting. The Endelio Institute and community residents are demanding that a community benefits agreement be put in place to ensure a reasonable amount of minority and local hiring is satisfied once this city project gets off the ground. The city tells the WGN news site that it is not interested in pursuing a community benefits agreement, but it is willing to increase minority and local hiring for the project above the standard city mandates. Nearly $10 million has been granted to the Chicago Public Library by the state for the Woodson Project, but only about $6 million has actually been paid out. The rest is tied up in the state budget stalemate. The city expects to put the project up for bid by the end of March. Ain't that precious?
Y'all motherfuckers can eat a bag of dicks.
Rolling down the road, don't know where, guitar packed in a trunk. Somewhere around my marker 112, Papa started humming a funk. I got a Jones in my bones before and know he was singing this melody. Stopped the car, pulled out the guitar.
And this is the opener, the beginning of the episode of Father Teresa's Wine Cellar for February 22nd, 2016. And you can go anywhere that you can download a podcast and get that whole episode that is recorded live to tape, where we interact with the chat room. Thanks for checking us out at Wine Cellar Entertainment on the SoundCloud.
And then the sun lit up and it split the night over high jubilee. 10,000 cars by the side of the road, moving far as the eye can see. So it took me home, home, took me home, home, home. So it took me home, home, so it took me home. This greyhound is Delta bound, mama. Baby boy done finally found. Said this greyhound is Delta bound, mama. Baby boy done finally found his way home. So take me home.